This call is being recorded.
All right. We're talking with our analyst, Jessica, about Ripple. Jessica, take it away.
So we're gonna use our analyst spreadsheet that we've created to really identify what the advantages and maybe some disadvantages of Ripple are. So first, we're going to go over the market and advantage behind Ripple. So if we look at, you know, what this problem is, it's a pretty strong identified problem here. It's a private blockchain for banks to really enable exchanges at lower cost. So I gave that a 4. You know, whether or not we're going to be able to leverage this is to be determined, because it does, you know, it is going to be relying on those third-party banks. But for now, that's a 4. It seems like a pretty strong problem it's solving. In terms of customers, a pretty strong, reachable, and receptive group of individuals here, anyone who really wants to transact money. And I think that it also is including banks, because banks would be leveraging that liquidity pool as well. So I give that a 4 as well. In terms of the value and the story, I gave this one a 5. You know, the differentiator here is really that it is claiming to work with banks and not replace them, while also resolving, you know, slow settlement speeds and high operational costs. So the value here is huge. When we get down to, you know, whether or not this is really something that's going to last and be, you know, seen to fruition, that's another factor. But as far as the value here, it is strong and clear. I think the market structure, you know, again, this is a new market, so that's a 4. This is something that's emerging. But there is, you know, there are a lot of regulatory risks. This is something that I gave this a 1. This is working with banks, so this makes it even more regulated than something like an Ethereum, which has their own decentralized network. This is going to be highly regulated. And if we want to look at the market barrier to entry, this is, you know, around a 2.2, and we can look at some of the economic factors behind this, but there are a lot of risks. If we look at the threat of new entrants, you know, this is a 1. There are a lot of players into entering the field beyond Ripple. Ripple does have that advantage of leveraging the bank network, but it's still a 1 because there are a lot of threats for new entrants here. If we look at the threat of substitutes, this is where Ripple has an advantage. This is one of the only ones out there that really works with banks. So I gave that a 4. If we look at degree of control on the supplier, again, this goes down to a 1 because Ripple will be very reliant on that third party, the bank network, since this is not as decentralized. And degree of control on prices, you know, this is still unclear. I gave this a 3. Banks are going to have to first buy into Ripple in order to leverage, you know, liquidity. That's going to be great. But if they can use Ripple's pool of investments, there's really going to be no requirement to purchase the coin, and that's going to really have an adverse effect, I think, on the success factor of Ripple. If we look at industry rivalry, I gave this a 3 as well. It's hard to gauge. You know, it's different, but we don't know whether or not this is better than the other competitors out there because it is so new. And, of course, research and development is a 1 because this does require a lot of R&D. So overall, that brings us to a 2.17 for the market barrier to entry.
Yeah, and I'll just say, you know, I've talked with a lot of folks in this space, and they agree with your analysis here that, like, this is potentially a huge opportunity. There's a lot of problems that need solved, but there is a lot of challenges. There are a lot of challenges with getting banks to accept it and getting banks to actually just work with any new technology, you know, because they're conservative and they're slow to change. And also that there's like political problems. So if you think about like the remittance market, sending money, you know, overseas into other countries, you also have, you know, it's not just a financial institutions that you got to worry about, but also the political actors as well. So I think you're right that this is, it's a big vision, but this is a big challenge.
Right. And as we go down to the competitive advantage and management team, a lot of these are going to be looked at from the perspective of, yes, this is something that came to become a tangible platform, because right now a lot of that is unknown. So if we look at, you know, the technology and blockchain platform behind this, you know, all of this, I gave it a 5. It seems to be very strong technology and a very strong network and team and a lot of partnerships. I don't know if you want to talk more on that, but from my perspective, this is all 5s.
Yeah, they have such a head start. They have built so much of a following, and they built such a brand for themselves already. I mean, they're kind of the third most recognized brand after, you know, Bitcoin and Ethereum. So all those things are huge competitive advantages. And by the way, brand may be something we want to consider for that.
Yeah, maybe that would go under the strategy up next to buzz factor and things of that sort. And I am realizing that my sheet didn't properly paste, so I'm going to have to kind of do some of this from memory. But if we go down to the management team, again, this is a pretty all-star team behind here with, you know, very transparent on the direction of things, I guess, except for the fact that some people find the integrity questionable, whether or not being so reliant on banks is really going against the decentralized nature of crypto. So I think that was the one area that I scored them a little bit lower, because there is some conflicting mindset, I guess, of investors on whether or not this is something that really is just trying to completely go against the entire nature of crypto.
And I'll say that I've met with a team at some of the crypto conferences I've been to, and I've been nothing but impressed with everybody I've talked to. I mean, they're really passionate about the mission. I always talk about, they all wear like little silver lapel pins with the Ripple logo, which to me is a small thing, but like it really matters that they believe that strongly in the company's mission and in the brand. And it seems sincere. Like they really seem, every person I've talked to, like, yeah, we're in this to win it. So all those mm-hmm. things to me, you know, bring, I think, rate the team really highly.
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, they have a very strong management team. If we go over to the token, so here's whether or not the problem actually requires a token is, I'm a bit unsure on this. It's kind of what we went back to on bank liquidity. If the banks are required to invest in Ripple, that's going to be huge. It will require the token. But if they can just use the Ripple liquidity pool, I don't really see how that's going to help enhance and expand the buying network. So I think we'll have to wait to see. They haven't really made any clear-cut answer on that. But if they do, then yeah, there's a huge value, and it's highly differentiated because it is working with banks for this. It's not decentralized. You know, this is something that's going to really rely on those banks to work with them. But then again, if we look at token supply, that is a fixed amount. That's great. It's on all of the reputable public exchanges, and it is functioning. So I think this is there is a lot of potential here.
So I've heard some criticism of the I think it was the token supply. Are you sure it's fixed?
I thought it was.
Yeah, because I've heard I've heard criticism that either it's inflatable, they can sort of generate more, or maybe it's the amount that they're holding back themselves.
I think that they're holding, there's a fixed amount, but they're holding the amount that they actually own themselves is very high. So there is some risk of inflation given the amount that they're holding.
Yeah, that's probably it. So that's the complaint is like, well, you're not, again, back to your point, you're not really decentralizing this if you guys are sitting on a giant part of the supply.
Right. And the fact that they're, you know, are reliant on the third party banks, I think that's, again, kind of steering away from the decentralized nature. And I'm looking back at my notes that Ripple themselves, they own 70% of the coin. So even though there is a limited supply of 100 billion tokens, there is that risk of inflation.
On the other hand, I'm sure the way they're thinking about it is, well, we could release more of these tokens and raise capital that way, right? Just sell it out, and then that's going to be our insurance policy or growth plan for the future. So, you know, I guess you could argue it the other way too.
Yeah, I think time will really tell for a lot of these things because everything is so new that we're, you know, on paper, these ideas sound great, but it really is going to determine or affect how it really works, whether or not people leverage this and how it all works.
I guess if I were in their shoes, I would rather have a giant cushion of all those tokens sitting in my account that I could sell if I needed to. Same way, if, you know, I'm running a company, I want to control as much of the stock as possible.
Oh, it makes sense. It makes sense. And then our last bucket here, I guess, is really around the strategy. From a technical difficulty perspective, you know, I gave it 3.5. Again, it's like what we talked about with Ethereum. The concept behind it is technical, but this is a way for individuals to start, you know, exchanging funds, and the fact that they are working with banks, it might make it easier to understand. And it's definitely unique. That's a 5, and there's a lot of buzz. This is, you know, one of the most talked about cryptos out there. So buzz factor is very high.
Great. So where do we end up here at the end?
Yeah, so if we look at the short-term potential, we're at a 4.83, and I think that a lot of people have been making gains in the short term. It's been a very, you know, I hold Ripple myself, and I've been very happy with the way everything's been going. In terms of long-term, we've dropped a bit to a 3.9, just because there's so much that's unclear. And I think that, you know, as more details come out on Ripple over time, that score might change.
Excellent. All right. Let me stop the recording here.